stop grousing, Father, Terrace Conklin said with an affectionate smile as she set the salad bowl down in the center of the dining table. You'd think the king had offered you a cell down in the dungeons. It's just the principle of the thing, Marklin objected gamely. We're supposed to be independent and critical-minded, not bribed and subverted by promises of sinful luxury. Personally, I'm completely in favor of sinful luxury myself, Isaac Conklin put in as he picked up the wooden tongs and began serving the salad. Mocklin's son-in-law was a sturdy, stocky man of average height. He had a heavy, fast-growing beard, bushy eyebrows, and powerful shoulders and upper arms, and his dark eyes looked out of cavernous sockets. People often thought that he looked as if he would have been right at home as a longshoreman down on the docks or behind a plow on a farm somewhere. In fact, there was a sparkle of lively curiosity in those deep-set eyes, and he was one of the more intelligent and well-read men of Mocklin's acquaintance. He and Terrace were also the college's official librarians, and if anyone had been more devastated than Mocklin himself by the destruction of the college's records, it had to have been his daughter and his son-in-law.
Me too, me too. I love sinful luxury.
Edith Conklin, Terrace and Isaac's younger daughter, announced, almost bouncing in her chair. Her twin brother, Joel, rolled his eyes. He did a lot of that when Edith's 13-year-old enthusiasm got the better of her. Still, Mocklin didn't hear him raising any protest either, and he looked at Adrian, his oldest grandchild.
Should I assume you support your parents and your somewhat vociferous sibling in this case? He asked her.
Grandpapa, the 20-year-old replied with a smile.
If you really want to live and work in a drafty, creaky old tenement with four flights of stairs to climb just to reach your office, and windows any nasty-minded person can chuck lit lanterns through, then you go right ahead. The rest of us will just have to make do here in the palace.
Hedonists, the lot of you, Mocklin growled.
If you really think that, then call us that without smiling, Father, Terrace said.
Mocklin ignored her challenge with the dignity appropriate to a patriarch of his advanced years, especially since he knew perfectly well he couldn't meet it anyway.
Has anyone discussed it with Uncle Thomas?
Irake asked. At 17, he was the second eldest of Mocklin's grandchildren. He favored his mother more than his father, with a tall, slender build, and he was definitely the family's worrier.
My little brother can take care of himself, thank you very much, Irake, his mother said now with a smile. He's been doing it for years, after all, and I'm quite sure that when he gets home, he'll be in favor of dropping the hook here instead of our old spare bedroom.
Most of the people around the table chuckled. Thomas Mocklin had never married, yet. At least, he was only 36, Mocklin reminded himself, mostly because he claimed a wife and a captain's berth didn't go together. As the master of one of Edward Hausman's galleons, Thomas was away from Tellisburg much more often than he was at home, however, and Mocklin suspected that he had quite a few lady loves scattered about the oceans of Safehold. Unlike his sister, Thomas had never been attracted to the scholar's life. He was much too busy pursuing more lively goals, and he had no objection at all to enjoying the finer things in life.
"I'm afraid your mother's right about that much, at least," Mocklin told his grandson.
"Of course she is," Isaac said cheerfully. Aside from that peculiar taste of his for salt water, he is one of the sanest men I know. Do you really think your uncle would turn up his nose at quarters here in the palace, Eric?
Not Uncle Thomas, that's for sure,
Edith put in with a huge grin.
Exactly, Isaac said as he passed Mocklin's filled salad plate to him. And that doesn't even consider all the other advantages, he added just a bit more quietly as he met his father-in-law's eyes across the table.
No, it doesn't, Isaac,
Marklin agreed silently. "They'll find it harder than hell to throw any lit lanterns around here, won't they?" "All right," he said. "All right. I'll stop complaining, buckle down, and suffer the imposition of all this sinful luxury in noble silence."